Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
My world like nobody else. The way that you look over there makes me overwhelmed. You don't know, oh, you don't know you're beautiful. Rest in peace, One Direction.
Thank you, RIP Liam Payne. Welcome back, best friend. Yeah. It is season 5, episode 1, season premiere of We Watch Too Much TV, the podcast.
We're back. A lot of TV we have been watching. At least I do while I'm working. Don't tell nobody.
Don't tell.
They're going to watch it. Look, I'm still answering your emails, but I'm watching my shows.
Well, you are a multifaceted multitasker, and hey, that's just what it is.
Hey, if you see that glow, she's a mom now. She's a cool mom. She has her cool mom shirt. I don't know if you can tell, but there's a glow in my best friend. She is someone's mother. How do you feel?
Tired. I just woke up from a nap. I had to take a cool mom nap ahead of doing my cool mom podcast with cool mom's best friend.
Life
is just so much more different from how we closed out the show, and I was like just mentally preparing to be a mom, and now I am fully immersed into mommyhood and finding it challenging to watch my shows.
I was listening to our last episode and just how over it you were and how pregnant you were. You were like, I need to get this girl out. I need her out. And it is just so interesting to come back months later and she's here. You can feed her while you watch your TV.
Yeah, that's when but the thing is, because you know I like to watch my ratchet television. So it's like I'm just being protective of like when I watch it because I don't want it to, you know, manifest itself into her beautiful little building brain. So I'm like, okay, the Housewives, I'll check out the Housewives, but you know what? Little Marley watches too much TV because I've gotten her into TV. I put on the television for her. So she has her shows. When she wakes up from her nap, we'll let her come and make her additions to the weekly grab. But she will let me know. Like, so today I haven't watched, you know, my favorite Love and Marriage Huntsville in a minute. And I've been seeing the pictures that they are teasing the reunion. I'm like, let me catch up on Love and Marriage Huntsville. And, you know, I was like, she's not paying attention. She's in her little rocker chair doing her thing. So I turn it on and she's like looking at it. Cause you know, she got her mother's attitude. So she's like looking at it. And after like 8 minutes, she was like, So I'm like, oh gosh, let me turn it off. I put back on her cartoons and it's like.
See, Marley's weekly grab where you tell us the cartoon.
Oh yeah. Period. We're going to have to definitely add some cartoons in there because I have a say on the cartoons because, you know, I was like, is it engaging? What is it teaching the children? Is it good music? Yeah. So life is just that, but I still manage to get my TV time in. And while I'm working, it's just a lot harder to work because I got to stop. I got to feed my baby. I got to change a diaper. I got to try to squeeze in a meal for myself. It's fun.
Because she's not a regular mom. She's a cool mom. Everything she's getting for her birthday / Christmas is going to have some type of cool mom something because this is her.
I love it.
She loves it. It is her.
But last Christmas, I got Tanea a hat that says dog mom. Because Tanea don't play. Okay. She had a whole little photo shoot for Nino. Yes. Like,
I'm actually gonna blow up some pictures you sent me and of him to put in my living room. So I'm gonna go to CVS this weekend, get some pictures of you and Marley and Mark, some pictures of him, and put it in my
Yeah,
living room.
I want to do a canvas, you know, when you can print the photos on the canvas. I want to do that along the couch and just have a photo wall. So that is something I plan on doing soon, probably during the holiday season, because we are Mariah Carey's getting ready to sound the alarm.
Girl, they was calling her freaking October 1st. I'm so happy she said not
Yes. Yes, she did a video on her private jet. She's like, not yet.
Oh, I love that song, but I hate that song. I'm sorry. It's just, ugh. I love it, but it's just, I'm not, I'm
It's
gonna hear
just, it's the
it.
cue. You know what it is. It's just like, okay, guys, it's time,
Every
Christmas time.
year.
And all that means for us now that we have money, it's like, oh, it's time to spend money on the people we love. But it still is a joyous time. You know, the ugly sweater parties or the Kwanzaa crawls. I know, Stan, you go on that. Like, there are a ton of ways that it's just celebratory fun that you only can have during the holiday season. And you know me, being a first-time mom, I'm super excited. It's also my birthday during that time. So I'm ready for the holiday season. Just all these matching one pajama pictures that I'm gonna be getting making y'all sick of.
Put it on my refrigerator. Another one. I'm collecting.
Yes, yeah, because I'm at the place now where I'm gonna be sending out photos.
Christmas cards. Merry Christmas,
Yes.
2024. Five
Oh my
love.
gosh, I can't believe it. Well, but before we're there, we're here for Halloween. So Cool Mom has to go take out her weave this weekend for the wig that I'm wearing for Halloween. I'm not telling y'all yet what my
Oh,
house
I can't wait. I can't wait for the pictures. It's a family theme. I already know. I can't wait. And I know it's gonna
is.
be. Can't
Because now
wait.
we're here. Me and Mark never would dress up for Halloween. So now we have a reason to. So every, you know, I think every year we're going to do a theme. So this will be our debut.
Until she tells y'all mom, dad,
Yeah,
stop.
right. I am 16 years old and stop. I'm
Back to
gonna be
Trump.
like, but why? This is the Schroeder family tradition.
She gonna call me like, why they gotta be doing this? Like, gotta put it on. I have no say.
First, mommy had me dressed like Tina Marie, and she's Patti LaBelle, and daddy is what was it? Peabo Bryson. Why is she making us?
I'm gonna do Mark's James wig with the beads. I got it. I got you, Mark. I got you covered. Get you the red jacket. We got it.
So, as you can see, we had a lot to catch up on because it's been a while. It's been a couple of months, but you know, we had let y'all know, we forewarned y'all that we would be taking an extended break for Tanea's birthday.
Slash life, because life be life. Huh?
Yeah.
All the time. It's Q4. It's the last 3 months of the entire year. So we got to wrap it up in all ways.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. And our TV's back. TV is back. A lot of
TV
my.
is back because it was slow over the summer. Oh, and except for the Olympics, which you know, we
Ooh.
could, yeah, we
Have a
weren't.
special section of
The
emotions.
Olympics was actually pretty good, and I will say, shout out to Peacock, even though I gotta give y'all pause for a little bit for my subscription. But I really loved how they put everything into a easy, digestible way of taking in the Olympics, which has never been done before. But if you had the Peacock app, you were able to go by category through the Olympics, play back stuff, watch it live,
Watch the
watch
highlights.
highlights.
People like me, I don't want to watch the whole game.
Right.
I want to watch the pointers. And people, when
Yes.
you, I don't want to watch the whole basketball game.
And because of that, I was able to really introduce myself to new sports that I just never probably would have paid attention to before on the Olympics because you had the category. So I was like, okay, I am gonna watch jousting. I am gonna watch the horse dancery, which was hilarious.
I watched the pummel, the Steven guy and the pummel
The
horse.
pommeling, horsing. The rock climbing was pretty good. The canoeing, the co competition canoeing, that was really good.
We all saw the breakdancing. We all saw breakdancing.
The break dancing.
So first and last
First
time.
and last time, because what y'all do? And it's messed up because y'all, I was looking forward to it improving by the next Olympics because they were going to probably act get actual break dancers, but it was so bad. They said, we are never bringing this back.
They said we thought about it. April Fools.
Never again. So, hello and goodbye to the breakdancing category of the Olympics.
Moment of silence. We will kangaroo in peace.
But on that note, let's officially get into our weekly grab.
Maybe a summer grab, a monthly grab, because we've been gone for so long. So a lot of these things I've watched throughout our hiatus that I had to write down because I was like, I have to talk about this.
Very much true. Very much true. Okay, best friend, you always go first.
So first on mine is the top show on Netflix that everybody's been talking about. It just got renewed for season 2. Nobody wants this. If you are a single girl in your mid-30s, you love the show. It's based on a true story. Two sisters, they had a podcast, and one was super single. She went to a dinner party and met a young, hot rabbi. And it just talked about them dating and how dating today, first of all, it's like the app stuff. You have to get over that. And just like the ups and downs of dating, specifically when his family was like, no, she's not Jewish. We won't accept her. And her family was like, well, you just have not been a good dater. So we doubt like the first guy you date is this rabbi and you have to do all this. I don't want to give too much away. I feel like everybody's watched it. It did get renewed for a season 2. But what I loved about it, one was, thank you, Adam Brody. He's like an actor who got his renaissance back. Like he was really huge in like our high school years, like early 2010s, went away, got married, had his own kid. So this is like his first big gig in a long time. Such a good actor. Really, really good. I feel like I kept seeing the same white men in like the romantic lead, the Ryan Gosling, the Hemsworth. So I'm just happy that he did the show. Amazing writing, really funny and really relatable. I love the fact that it shows women that you're never too much for the right person. Mm. She's a mess. She's all over the place. She tries to self-sabotage and he keeps showing up and he keeps coming back. It's also really funny, really relatable. And I like how it's loosely based on the Aaron Foster, the creator. It's kind of based on her life. So like her husband's not a rabbi, but he is Jewish and he works in the industry and she did convert to Judaism for him. So then it just has you thinking, like, would you ever convert religions to be with someone?
For the D.
Yes. For the love. Right,
religions for the D. But go to read the Torah for the D.
Hey, convert religion for the D. They need to bring that back.
Yes. We need a resurgence of for the D. But yeah, no, it sounds like a beautiful, a fun romantic comedy, which, yeah, we always love.
What I love about Netflix series in particular, they're 20 minutes or less. No episode is longer than 25 minutes. They understand our short attention span. They tell a lot. I think it was 8 to 10 episodes. Amazing. I felt it was going to be a season 2, but it was just confirmed. So if you haven't watched it, you need a quick watch. If you're like a rom-com girly like me, nobody wants this on Netflix. It's the best.
Okay. Sounds cute. Sounds like something I could probably watch with the baby.
I think you and Mark would like it. It's like a like kind of a, just a marriage of cultures, kind of, sort of.
Right, right. Okay. Sounds fun. Sounds like something a cool mom. Okay, so first on my list, because like I said, it's really hard for me to actually watch television, but one show I will make time for, and uninterruptedly, because, you know, we're passive watchers where we're doing this while we're doing that. No. Agatha All Along is on right now. Okay, I am currently on pause with last week's episode because I got to take it in because I was traveling. But I watch every episode. And then after I'm done with the episode, I go on YouTube and watch the Easter eggs for further deep dive into the episode on whatever I might have missed. Agatha All Along, it is the continuation of WandaVision, but this is now from Agatha's perspective. It kicks off where WandaVision left off, because if you can remember what WandaVision, Agatha had Wanda and her husband, which I'm forgetting his name, but y'all know the guy that's all painted with a little thing in his head. She had them under like this witchery spell and making them believe that they were in these throwback television shows and keeping them kind of under this guise until they figured it out. And then towards the end, Wanda and Agatha had this magical woman showdown, and Agatha like swooshed Wanda into this abyss world. And so that's where this show picks up, where now Wanda is in this television show. It starts off as like a crime, drama, thriller type show, an investigation, private eye investigator type show that she's created this character for herself as she tries to put the pieces back together on like who she is, what was she trying to figure out. And so it picks up like that as if it's a crime show. And then it slowly gets into the Agatha of it all. And she is still a witch. And she is putting together this coven to go on the road, Wizard of Oz, and go on the road, go find back the clues that she had left for herself to get back her powers, regain her powers, and become Agatha. But throughout the show, it's like Agatha is still Agatha, right? She's evil. She's not a good person per se. So as each trial, we'll see in certain episodes, people pass away, and then you're still seeing that Agatha doesn't care about anybody but herself, which is really opposite from typically a lead in a show where they're the protagonist and you have the antagonist, which was Agatha in WandaVision. But no, this is about Agatha. Agatha's always the antagonist. She is the villain. So it's like kind of like that play on emotions, because it's like, oh, you're rooting for Agatha, but really are you? Because she's evil. And then the introduction of new Marvel characters, which if you're a super Marvel fan, it's exciting to see. But I think, with seeing that it's a play on The Wizard of Oz, and if you're into fantasy, it's such a good show. The writing is always really good. The intertwining of like the Salem witch trials and just, witch lore, mystery around whether or not Agatha's son that she abandoned to have even more power is dead, and if he is going to resurface himself and in what way. So it's such a good show. That's the one show that I make time to watch. It's up to episode 6 as of right now when we're doing this podcast, and I have literally set time aside to watch each episode uninterrupted, because like I said, like these are ones you got to pay attention, and I'm making sure that I'm paying attention uninterrupted, and it also gives me that time to just do something for myself, which I don't really get a lot of time to do. So yes, Agatha all along, baby. I'm here for it. That's number one on my weekly grab.
That is your genre, because I don't know anything about
I
that show.
know. I
But
know.
if anybody's gonna watch it, it will be you.
It's the cool mom. What's next on your weekly grab?
Let's go to Peacock. Speaking of the Olympics, the documentary actually just came out last week, but I had to watch it because it's about my favorite show. It's called Anatomy of Lies. It is based on one of the head writers and executive producers of Grey's Anatomy, who basically conned her way to getting the job by stating she had stage 4 cancer, lied about it the entire time, and how she basically conned the entire Shonda Rhimes, the production company, her wife, her family. She just was a crazy narcissist, manipulative woman. And it's just so good. I love documentaries and I love Grey's Anatomy. So when that came out, I said, whoop.
Wait, so this really happened? When did she get figured out?
So she grew up in like the middle of nowhere, was a theater kid and wanted to be like a screenwriter, wasn't really getting any like pull. She started writing for True Blood, the little vampire show on HBO. Didn't really get too big, applied to work for Shondaland, didn't get it. I don't know what made her say, let me say I have cancer, but one day she just went to one of her childhood friends and said, I had cancer, come with me to the hospital. But don't come inside with me. So when the friend was like, no, my friend's getting chemo for the first time, I want to be there to support her. The lady started screaming at her. Her name was Elizabeth, the liar. She was like, oh, don't, why did you come in? The friend thought it was weird, but she didn't think nothing of it. Long story short, Elizabeth starts writing all these op-eds about having cancer and surviving trauma, and gets somehow writes an essay that Shonda ends up seeing, and then she hires her to be like a consultant on Grey's Anatomy. Some of my favorite, most gut-wrenching episodes of Grey's, she's written, she's produced based on her life, and it was all based on lies. She would put like a port on her skin and take pictures and be like, oh, I'm in chemo. And they used to have this thing called getting finched. So no matter what happened that day, like that weekend in somebody's life, everything in her life happened worse. Like let's say, oh, my daughter threw up. Oh, actually, my daughter died. Like everything to her was like a million times worse. She was just one of those people, she had to suck the energy out the room. She got really close with another writer who confided in her that she was the result of a rape. And what did the writer do? She wrote that into a Grey's Anatomy episode. I remember this episode. It's about one of the popular nurses. The mother ends up confiding that she's the result of a rape by the dad. And basically, the writer was like, you weaponized my story. She starts winning awards for it and stuff. She becomes like this big writer. Goes away to like a PTSD camp, like literally just would lie about everything. Met a woman that she befriended to kind of take her sorry stories. Took the woman's life, took the woman's husband, committed suicide. She turned it to her brother committing suicide. She just was crazy. She kept lying and lying and lying and lying about everything she was sick with. And it didn't until the wife realized that she was lying about everything because she met the girl in PTSD therapy trauma camp, befriended her, and then started made the kind of woman fall in love with her because the woman had a lot of her own trauma. Act like she wanted kids. She didn't really want kids, but the wife basically caught her in a lie and was like, you're lying about everything. That's the only reason she came clean, had to tell the writers at Grey's Anatomy. They had to like rip her on certain scenes. They had to fire her. But I just think it's compelling because there are some people out here who are really would do anything for attention.
Pretty much.
And like, why are you lying? And she was like, you know, I just thought I couldn't be a writer if I didn't have cancer. And I was like, well, no, you were writing before that.
I will say though that it does show that she's a good writer.
Listen, the story she would make up when the
Or the
media
way she would
told
t pull, take pull, draw inspiration from someone else's real experience, but then like twist it and then turn it. I mean, that you are a writer. That's what writers
writer.
do. However, you're sick. You
Sick.
sick lady.
The Me Too movement, she, when it came popular, she made up some story about some director on True Blood attacking her. Never gave a name. No one could ever justify it. She did the same thing when there was the synagogue shooting back in 2018 when the person shot up the church. One of her friends was there. She had to clean up the
I
debris.
need to watch this. So you said it's on Peacock.
Yes, Anatomy of Lies. Like watching everything that bad would happen, she was a part of it. Everything.
Oh yeah, I
Oh,
was
I was
there when they threw the
there.
first brick and stone wall. My mom was pushing me in a stroller.
She's never apologized. She's never taken accountability. She's never done anything. But like she is embarrassed her family, embarrassed her brother. She told people that her brother was manipulative, physically abusive. He tried to kill himself. The brother is a doctor. The brother is a damn doctor sitting in his damn bed. But it's just a really good documentary. It's only three episodes,
Okay.
like an hour each. But I
Well, you
was just,
got me. I'm gonna watch it.
that lady deserves nothing good in life because the way, and I just felt really bad for her ex-wife because it's like being a friend to someone
Yeah,
that made
imagine,
her fall in love
right.
with you and then emotionally manipulating them and her kids, her poor kids. If you want something good to watch and also want to hate somebody, Anatomy of Lies. It was
Yeah.
very,
I it's been a while. I need to hate someone. Yes.
ooh, you're gonna hate Elizabeth Finch because we all hate her. Nobody.
Bitch. Get benched.
What's on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is a film that came out recently. I'm a fan of the original, so I had to talk about it. Beetlejuice, another in my fantasy lore love for it. I knew when this one was coming out, I was like, I'm going to go see it by myself. Because I don't need nobody around. Like, I don't need Mark around. Da, 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 da. But we also have a child, so he would have to stay home with the baby. So I had asked him, like, can I go watch Beetlejuice by myself? And he was like, sure, go. I went to, my favorite theater, Alamo Draft House, had a pizza, a glass of wine. They also were playing like a lot of Beetlejuice type ads ahead of the film. That's what I love about Alamo too. So they played like an episode of the Beetlejuice cartoon from the late 80s and highlights of live shows that were like Beetlejuice shows at like Universal and stuff. But I liked the movie. I thought it was great for fans of the original. It was a little cheesy at time, which I got from some of the criticism that I did read about it, like all the musical numbers. So I did hear like, oh, there's a lot of music in it. And there were. It wasn't Joker 2-esque, like a whole musical, but there was a lot of just music breaks where it's like, okay, and now it's are they like performing this song? Why? This isn't like, this was not what it was in the original. So I thought that was a little cheesy, but it just gave fans what they want when it comes to the essence of Beetlejuice, the makeup, the costumes, new dead characters. Cause it's like always crazy ways that people are dying, and then they end up in this death waiting room, waiting to hear from their caseworker who's going to guide them into now the life of being dead. Like lighthearted storylines based around death. Now we see the introduction of Jenna Ortega, who plays Lydia's daughter, Lydia being what's her name? Winona Ryder. So I thought that the dad, Jerry Jones, or he's in the original, he's the husband of Catherine O'Hara. I thought he died.
He died professionally. He
Yeah.
was accused of some not so good.
Right. So they did a creative way of wiping him out of the film by basically he died and he got ate by a shark. So his dead body doesn't have a head. So it's like bitten off and you see like the shark bite marks and it's like blood splurting out. So he's still in the film, but not really. And he's like passing on, and then Catherine O'Hara's character goes to meet him. Spoiler alert, sorry if you haven't seen the movie yet, but I mean it's kind of you should have saw it by now.
It's on Max already. So if you haven't seen it,
Exactly. It's already right. If you haven't seen it, then it wasn't for you. You were not a fan. You were just waiting for it to come on Max, and now it's on Max. But anyways, it was such a cute close to the story to me, in my opinion. I mean, they might carry it on, but I think Tim Burton did a good job. And yes, Beetlejuice, it was a good sequel, and it was good to see the king back, Michael Kington, the king.
not cheating. Kings.
Kington. I love me. Best Batman ever. I love me some Michael Keaton. I love like all of his movies.
Yes, he has a new one coming out. Supposed to be like a emotional like comedy. He does have a new movie coming out. I said I
He
might get
does those, but he does those well. He does those well. But then there's also one I'm loosely watching that's on Max, like a crime drama that he's whipping ass, killing people and stuff. Michael Keaton does it all. Michael Kington does it all. Another one of my favorites as a kid was Multiplicity, where he continues to clone himself or a clone of a clone. So then that last clone was a little, but it's like when you're just a busy adult and you're just like, oh, I have so much to do. How am I going to get it done? Let me clone myself. And that one was, used to be a favorite as a kid. And if you can remember Jack Frost,
I do remember Jack Frost. That
he's
was a
done
holiday.
like, action films as Batman. He's done family films. He's done romantic comedy films. He's done everything. And he delivers each and every time because he's Michael Kington.
Not Keaton. King Tut.
Period. Period. What is last on your weekly grab, best friend?
I love a documentary, just like you.
Another documentary. No, I know. I love your breakdowns of the documentaries that you watch.
They give me life because it's real life, and I love Googling stuff like after I watch it.
Right.
This one, I don't know why it made me watch it, but now I remember how much I grew up with two brothers, how much like WWE was big. It's Mr. McMahon on Netflix. It's a six-part docuseries about Vince McMahon and his whole family. So I knew of some stuff. We grew up around the Suck It era when like Dwayne The Rock Johnson was big and like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I remember my older and younger brother coming to me like, "Suck It." So I think that's what made me want to watch it. I remember them just being like, "Oh," like I just remember like being in middle school and a boy would try to pick on you. He goes, "Suck it." Anyway, sorry, TMI.
Y'all
And
remember that?
I'm vehemently in Brooklyn. All the little boys were like, "Suck it."
It. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
WWE shirts. So it was a 6-part series, but the most interesting part was most of it was filmed before 2022. He had new allegations of human trafficking and sexual assault. So watching the, and then afterwards, him or none of his family would talk to Netflix again. So some people came back to do interviews like before and after the allegations. And so I thought that was the most interesting part, but also the history. Just a young guy who just always wanted to make his father proud of him. His father got into wrestling, kind of like being a gambler. Father wasn't around till he was about 13, 14. And then he joined WWE with his father, kind of like they needed a new host one day. And he's like, "I'll do it." And then he kept trying to impress his father, impress his father, impress his father. His father died and he wasn't really happy like with him. So he just decided to turn it into the thing it is today. It spoke about racist Hulk Hogan and how he was the star. He's the person who bought WWF before to its pinnacle. It talks about the Nitro WWF beef, how WWF became WWE because
Amen.
WWF is the wildlife fund with the animals, and they had that trademark, so it couldn't be WWEF no more. They had to be WWE. Watching this old man hold on to his youth and like watching him go through this ego death is crazy. Like, on one hand, you have these young men like Vince McMahon is my dad, he's the best, but his own son hates the hell out of him.
Wow.
His own son, he treated him like crap, but treated the daughter special. You see his deranged mind when it comes to women, when it comes to the women wrestlers. I wish they would have talked more about China. I know she's a touchy subject, but that was the first female wrestler I knew to be of something. They really didn't talk about her, which I kind of was surprised about. But you learn the history of WWE, you learn the history of his daughter, who now runs it. Her and Triple H, they started like a game to be married, like it was like a skit. And they actually like got married and they're married and
Yeah.
have to. So like
I remember that. I was still watching the time when they were like falling in love
it
and
was like a whole thing. They were making Miss McMahon mad because like, oh, you're falling in love with the hater. But in real life, they
so
actually
they're still married.
were still married 20 plus years with I think 2 kids or 3 kids,
Oh,
still
wow.
married. Vince McMahon was, he did not want to retire. He like was coming out doing it. All the allegations came. He gave up his board seat. And then once people stopped talking about it, he tried to come back. But then they had to sell. He came back just to sell WWE to some bigger company. And then more allegations came out and then they fired him. They were like, "Oh, no, you don't own it anymore because we bought you out. You can't do this." But watching certain ways he would talk about women, certain ways he would talk about sex, certain ways he would talk about his wife and like what everybody knew. I just thought it was interesting to see how like before the allegations, he's my dad. He's like a great man. You know, John Cena was like, he's like a father to me. And the Undertaker's freaking crying. Like, I don't know where I would be without his man, this man. And after the allegations, a lot of them are like, "What? Don't know what to say." So now Triple H is the manager of it all. And Shawn Michaels, it's crazy that I know these names, but my brothers are into wrestling. So they still have some of the older guys there. And WWE is still a billion-dollar company. They're still, they
It's
still.
still and it's still creating stars, you know, like you got like the three top film stars from the WWE is The Rock, John Cena, and Dave
Stuff.
Bautista.
Cody Rhodes, they have this new, ooh, Ramon. Ooh, somebody's gonna kill me. Y'all gonna tell me in the
But
comments.
a lot of guys, people who are even kind of into entertainment, but also into being fit, it's a good start for them. So I just don't ever see it really going anywhere. And despite the scarred legacy of Vince McMahon, it's still his legacy. He did create it. So, yeah, I mean, hey, Some people are rotten, but they were able to do great things. And I mean, we have buildings named after them all throughout New York City. So,
He's not a part of it. His wife and Triple H run it now. He's probably being some old gross man in Florida somewhere.
probably.
I thought the history was interesting, how like Nitro, like the other company, and how they were like fighting each other. I was really
Yeah, that
interested.
was a whole thing too at times with like even with the video games, it was like WWE versus NWO.
And then how they bought them out. They ended up buying them out. It was like at first they were beating their ass, and then they ended up buying them out. But I just thought it was interesting about how they treated the women in the industry and how a lot of women would sue them for sexual harassment and then settle and then come back. So I think that could be a whole part two, but I thoroughly, more than I thought I would, enjoyed watching that wrestling documentary.
All right. Well, there we go. The one on Vince McMahon. Is that the one that became the meme when he was like tearing up and he's like, that's like a whole famous meme now. Me and Mark do it all the time. Like if it's something we don't want to talk about, we're like,
Yes, and then he got this really gross mustache. That's a whole nother story. He's a gross man. I can just see gross man.
he
He
doesn't have
basically,
mustache face, so yeah.
oh, he was basically had some workers there working for him and taking advantage of them. So I hope he goes to hell. But thank you for the WWE because he's not a good man.
Right.
What's last on your weekly grab?
Last time a weekly grab is a reality show that I'm able to watch because it's like fun. House of Villains season two. Such a good one. I love those. I love these mashups. The reality mashups are so good because it just makes for just new good moments of already iconic reality stars. So this season, it's truly villainous. You know, you got like, I mean, I feel like everyone is a backstabbing traitor on the cast except for Teresa Giudice. She's the only one where I'm
Got a
like,
good
girl.
hairline, but she got a good hairline.
Right, that's what New York said to her. But I said no one can be trusted, and honestly, like Richard Hatch from Survivor, he might honestly have replaced New York as the HBIC. I just feel like Richard is just so like
Extra.
he's, but he is a villain. He's still true to himself. But when everyone thought that Teresa tried to cook for everyone to get on their good side, and everyone, like literally the entire house said the food was bad. And it's, if
No.
everyone says your food is bad, it's bad. I don't know
Not
who was the.
one person. Now, I have never had that happen in my life. And they were just like,
Right.
how? And they were like,
Richard said it tastes like a salt lick.
like when you go to a rock and you just lick a.
When you're taking a shot and the part where you lick the salt, that's what her food tastes like.
Like 4 or 5?
What?
She has like 4 or 5 cookbooks.
Yes. She's like famous for cooking, but it's like, I don't know, girl. I'm thinking it could have been a possibly been a bad day, an off day for her. But
Maybe
girl,
she's a little nervous.
that was
Sometimes
your chance.
I'm
That was your chance. Yeah, she was probably nervous and moving fast. I don't know, girl. But for everybody, and then of the whole meal, not one dish that someone said they liked this. It was like everyone was so quiet when they were eating it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is bad. But Candy cussing out Safaree, telling him this is why Nicki Minaj left your ass. Now clock that T. Only to find out that the plan was in her favor, and she was like, oh. But it was just still like good television. Larissa's implants are insane. Like Larissa from 90 Day Fiancé, like those implants are just like, girl, like,
it just looks so big
how
on
do you
her back.
tie your shoe?
How do you like stand? I know she's gonna have back problems. She's going to have back problems in
You
about.
might have to deflate them because that's just like that. That was just like they don't even look good to me. And then Victoria from Bachelor,
Not
always
Veronica.
not Veronica. Because nobody can remember her name. Not Vanessa. I always could tell that she was going to be the weakest link. She came in with that crown. I'm like, girl, they're going to pluck you up and pluck you out. I always felt like she was going to likely be the first one to go, even though it didn't turn out that way so far. But I still think she's going to be one of the, she, I don't, I'll be surprised if she does like make it towards the end.
Very surprised.
But I also like the white safari Peck from The Bachelor. What's his name?
Joey?
Joey.
Joey from Big Brother. He's from Big
Yeah,
Brother.
Big Brother, my bad. Whatever. But he's cool. He's funny. But yeah, I'm here for this new season. I haven't watched the last episode, but I did watch the first two, and I really like it. So.
I love it. It's my favorite mashup show. I couldn't finish the GOAT that we started, but the House of Villains, it's my favorite mashup show. And I just love how Wes, don't matter where he goes, he has that challenge mindset. Like,
Yes.
come on,
Yep.
it's
This is how you do it. This is what you're gonna do. This is who you're gonna throw in. This is the decoy. Wes is always the master manipulator strategizer. But I love Wes. I have been a Wes
I
fan.
love him. I see Wes coming through with the win. Or I hope for New York. I just love New York. I would watch New York or anything she does. I think that she should be in every season of House of Villains. Like
I
New York,
see. Yeah, it seems like that's what they're probably doing.
she's the perfect, like, I understand. She understands her plane. She understands who she is. She really is like that. But I think Wes said it in an interview. He was like, behind closed doors, sweetest girl,
Yeah.
kindest girl. But she knows Tiffany and New York are two different people. So that's a show. Like, as soon as we're done, I'm gonna watch the last episode, to your point, because you can never have a bad episode of that.
Love
Yes.
it, love it. Okay, so that's our weekly grab for season five. We did it. It was
Grab.
pretty good, pretty positive. We didn't really drag anybody. So now the dragging must commence. And with that, let's get into our piss poor performance.
I like to add my own little.
All right. I do believe we kind of have a similarity this week. So I'll let you do the honors, best friend.
Both of my piss poor, my yes, are housewives related. So this piss poor, I can start and you can round it up because you always have a good old read. Miss Mia from Housewives of Potomac. You get my piss poor probably for the season because I think you're just giving desperate. Like, I think you're trying to go on this world tour where you're trying to convince the world that Ink is the love of your life and Gordon was never the one. Even your tagline is tacky.
What's
Ain't
the
something is temporary, but Ink is permanent.
tagline?
It's so tacky. First of all, in 10 years, mark my words, you're gonna regret that damn tagline. That tagline is not gonna,
Not 10 years, maybe like even a year.
it's not gonna fare well. That's first of all. It's tacky. Second of all, when people try too hard to prove that they're happy, they're not. And I feel like she keeps trying to push this narrative, like Ink was the love of my life, and you know, it was never Gordon. I was only waiting for money, blah, blah, blah. But what really pisses me off is two things. One, how she's antagonizing Karen and Karen's stuff going on. Like, we know it's gonna come out. Everything that happened with Karen, Karen wasn't right. She's taking responsibility. But the way that people were digging at Mia, she didn't like it. And I don't like how she's doing it to Karen.
Yes.
Like, she's gonna tell y'all what she's gonna tell y'all, but y'all all done had something y'all didn't want to talk about. It was legal. I don't like how they're doing that to Karen. Like, I just don't like it between that and the old jokes. I think it's getting like kind of old. But what pissed me the hell off is that you are national television pushing this narrative about your son and who his daddy is. Whether Ink is his father or Gordon is his father, Mia, your son is going to have to watch this eventually. Please don't do that. Please don't mess up his brain. Please don't have this guy on TV talking about, yeah, that's my son, and you don't know that to be true. And if you know it to be true, don't put that on TV. I don't like when the kids get involved in the. I think it's messy. I never like when anyone's kids talk about you, your tackiness, your which wear, your hair, even your relationships. But when they had Jacqueline's ex-boyfriend Boo ask Ink if he has kids, and he's like, and they insinuating that is Jeremiah, who is Gordon's son, tacky as hell.
Yeah, very tacky. That's why I have her as my piss poor. I mean, Mia, we've always known you were cheap. I think that's just been very evident since your inception onto the show, but you're just, going to a new low of cheapness because it's being more amplified because of the cast changeups. So now you've kind of been given a pedestal to just feel like, oh my gosh, they care about me. So let me just do things to just garner more attention for myself. Because that's what you think in your cheap brain. But no, you're actually making yourself look stupid and you're potentially tarnishing a relationship with one of your children, all for the sake of television. The way she is exploiting her child and her divorce is whack, whack, whack. And girl, you're looking for like that Nene moment. Who else have we seen go through a divorce? Teresa, Vicky, one of her many divorces. Like, you're looking for one of those iconic divorce moments, and it's not
It's
it.
not
I would
happening.
say the most iconic part of your divorce was Gordon's line. Like, you want fair, go to the carnival. Like, nothing you
Or
said.
even Gordon going on TMZ, but nothing you're doing is making this
No,
out
no. And you're
well.
just cheapening yourself and this ink guy. It's like you're trying to make fetch happen, and it's just not gonna happen. And it's unfortunate that you're kind of being given this lane. However, I do have hope, and these newbies on the show, they are showing actual potential. And I don't know. I do believe that Mia's time is potentially coming to an end on the show. We always knew she was just a filler, and I'm thinking that they found good, more well-rounded that don't just do things for television. And I think Mia, it could, depending on how it goes, it's still early, but I just kind of have a feeling this could probably be her last season.
And I've always said, you could give me Jacqueline instead of Mia. I feel like Jacqueline has just a little bit more, just less of the
Right.
desperateness of wanting
Yes.
to be
The
a housewife.
desperate facade. It's just
Yeah,
like,
and
girl.
Deborah are to me not too far apart. They just want
Yes.
to be housewives so bad. So you can
Yep.
get rid of Mia, give me Jacqueline. Also, just a little side note. I want to give another piss poor to Giselle for her attitude. Because why you did that to them ladies? That was real rude. And you know they got money. You know you wanted to raise money. Why the hell you didn't take their money and then kick them out? Stupid. You're supposed to take the money, then you kick them out. You know you gotta raise money. These housewives.
Yeah, I am seeing from now the fact that Robin is gone by good riddance. Yeah, it is Giselle. Like, girl, you just have a stank attitude, girl, and it's just not cute at all. I know you think you're cute. You are pretty, but because your attitude sucks so much, it just like brings down that like prettiness. It's like, ew, why does your inside stink?
Like that techie ass house. I did like what Mia said that. I don't want to come to your techie ass house. Yes.
But yeah, I don't miss Robin. I do miss Candace, but I do like knowing that she's gone and focusing on becoming a mom. So, and
I think
whatever.
Candace can come right back.
Oh yeah.
Candace can come right back and say, we do not need Robin because Ashley is doing her job better.
Yeah, Ashley's stirring the pot with that forehead, still doing her thing, being okay with being, unlikable. So, and we take it for what it is. So, yes. But yeah, Mia, you cheat.
You're getting a double piss poor. You're getting pissed on twice. Golden shower, Mia. Golden shower.
So now let's go into who we are rooting for with our yes segment. Who are you rooting for, best friend?
Well, little side note, I'm rooting for Robin to never come back. So that's the first yes. I don't want her back. And housewives related, I'm giving my yes to Jenna Lyons. From Housewives of New York, Housewives of New York City. I like her season two. I like this new
Yeah.
Jenna. She's
Yes.
showing us more of her life. She's showing us her son. I think we'll get to see her wife soon. Like she is in a new relationship. I just like her energy. I feel like she season one was maybe just a little
Yeah,
skeptical.
yeah, yeah.
Still an icon, but I like her talking like more in the episodes, kind of like being like, I'm Jenna Lyons, bitch. Yes, I'm gonna buy a $200,000 Porsche in a brown color and I'm gonna draw. I just like her energy. I
Yeah.
think she's gonna be better at being messy but classy. But I'm enjoying watching her, and I love that they gave us another lesbian friend in Raquel so they can kind of like
Yes,
bond over like
which is
the
a first. So yeah,
right.
I liked season one of Roni. I'm loving season two. My yes actually is going to Pavit. I love how I just love him and the way he owned that Dory diss from Psy by doing what he does best, giving a food review and just saying like, throwing the subliminals of like being Dory. I love him. You cannot make me hate him. Pavi and Jessel, team them. I do think that we're gonna see more of just the annoying one, which I always did feel like it was Brynn. So
Yeah, I
we're
feel like she
seeing.
gets a little worse. I feel like she gets worse, and I feel like that's what kind of brings Uber over to the edge.
Yeah.
I think Bren's storyline is just stirring the pot, and sometimes like you can do it, but you got to do it a different way.
Right.
And I think it's kind of gonna bite her in the ass this
Yeah,
season.
we'll see. But so far, right now, we are Team Jessel and Team Pavit.
You follow him? Like, are you gonna like look into his YouTube?
I follow him on TikTok. I like him.
Didn't she say he quit his job to do that now?
Oh, if he did, I'm here for it. I mean, or you know what? I could see him probably doing like consultation, like so he doesn't need to work for anyone full time now. He could probably just be a consultant and now just travel and eat food.
Yeah.
Because that's what, like, why not now? My
Can't
wife
wait
is
to
on
show him
television.
like Answers Home in the
She got
Evening.
her bag. I'm also getting my own little check by appearing on the show, getting paid to do these little product endorsements and stuff on TikTok. I'm an influencer, period. And I can do my
Jessel looks
consulting.
amazing season so far. Like her fashions are fashioning.
Yeah.
It's looking
Like Jessel.
so good. Looking so good, nice and tight.
The other thing that's interesting to see, because especially because they're the newest franchise, is like I do just feel like they keep feeding, like trying to create their personas based off of what fans are saying. Like you could, like, even with Psy, like therapy, therapy. And it's like you're only doing that because what? Because everybody hated you last season. Like,
Like, do you really want to heal, or do you feel like you need to say?
yeah. And then like Bran, like it's like she's now leaning to completely into the gold digger, cougar girlfriend role. It's just like, girl, we still ain't seen you really even date nobody's spy.
Yeah.
But anyways, this was good. This was a good comeback to We Watch Too Much TV.
There's so much TV on TV, girl. Like,
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next week as we get into our positivity. And it's so funny because we're rusty, but don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on all social media platforms at We Watch Too Much TV, TEAV.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. My hairstylist was like, "Oh, I can't wait to listen. I can't wait. I
Yes.
love you." I said, "Yes, girl."
Yes. And our personal pages at Tanea Says. Is there an underscore somewhere?
Underscore the beginning and the end.
And then I'm at Jocelyn Diva,
We're never
Jerry.
gonna change our handles. I'm never gonna change that handle
I'm gonna
ever.
be a 55-year-old cool mom and still be Jocelyn Diva as I have been. Okay. Y'all all join social media. I've been on this and I've been Jocelyn
Okay,
Diva,
it's gonna be
period.
my Facebook day till I die. Okay.
Okay. So, what is your positive affirmation quote that you want to leave with our listeners, viewers?
Yes. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Albert Einstein.
Oh, that's a good one. Do, ride the bike. Keep going, or else you're gonna fall. Do.
And what is yours?
Mine is, life has taught me I am not always in control. Life is full of experiences, lessons, heartbreak, and pain. But it has also shown me love, beauty, possibility, and new beginnings. Embrace it all. It makes us who we are, and after every storm comes a clear sky. And that is from upandforwardonpurpose.com on Pinterest.
I promise you, if it's one thing we're gonna give you, it's a great quote from Pinterest. Okay, Pinterest has given me my nails, my hair inspiration.
Yes. My inspiration for every day had me playing my baby shower, how I'm gonna design her room when we move into our new place. So all of that. But like we said, y'all, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. Like and subscribe, leave a review. We really like those. And leave comments on our YouTube too, because now we're gonna be doing some more visual aspects of the show so you could really identify with us as people, because we're not just pretty voices, we are pretty faces as well.
And our TikTok. I'm definitely going to post a little video on TikTok for the both of us because I'm loving TikTok and I'm a TikTok girly. I used to
Same.
hate on TikTok, but now I love it. So
Same. You're great at it.
I love TikTok now. So stay tuned for our TikTok and our YouTube kind of interactive stuff. And just leave us comments. Let us know what you watch, what you don't watch, or tell us what we should watch.
Yeah, we will check it out. We will just check it out, give a review or whatever. But yeah, so stay tuned. We'll be back next week. We watch too much TV. What is our closing slogan, best friend?
Love, abundance, and nice hair bundles. Look at our bundles, y'all. We got good bundles.
Gotta spin the coin to get the good bundles.
No more Amazon $50 synthetic bundles, y'all. It's
Oh,
too
I had to drop some coin, but these are really good. These are going to last me for a while.
Yes, this is raw. This is what we call raw kinky. Cool mom bundles.
Cool mom out. Okay, y'all. Bye.
Hehehehe